And there you go, that song called Confetti, and that's Anne-Marie Kelly, and she's in studio to talk to me now. Anne-Marie, that's terrific, I have to say.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Sam. And it's the first of a few CDs that you've had out. When is it out?
We're launching it from the exhibition Virgin Mother, Horror Woman on March the 8th, coming
okay.
up soon, yeah. That
well,
particular track was co-written with Nev Lloyd. I know he's listening, so I have to say his name.
Okay. Well, what we do is we talk about the exhibitions you have coming up first, and then we'll talk about them again. You can give out the information about them again at the end. So tell us about the exhibitions, where they are and what how long they're on for.
Both exhibitions are in Film Base in Temple Bar. They open at midday, March the 7th, and they run through until March the 14th. The larger exhibition is Virgin Mother, Horror Woman. And then there's a smaller ancillary exhibition called Roots and Wings. Roots and Wings is it's an exhibition, it's a visual media representation of the therapeutic relationship that exists between a psychotherapist and their client. So it's trying to show that essence of holding space for another person so that they can explore what their truth is, where their roots are, where they want their wings to go. It's an easily described piece, so that's why I'm describing that one first. Virgin Mother, Horror Woman is a very layered work. It plays with the old mythical theme of the triple goddess, but it brings her into a more modern frame up work of, you know, how women are presented in the media. So using that three-way lens of Virgin, Mother, Whore, it examines kind of how we find our place in the world, you know, what it is to be female in the world. So it provokes an awful lot of questions. It doesn't seek to answer them, but it invites the viewer in to listen, to experience what's been presented to them, and then to find what their own truth is.
It's quite a vivid title, that part of it, the Virgin Mother, Whore, Woman. The concept of it all seems to be quite relevant today.
It is. It's very topical at the moment, and that's why I chose International Women's Day to launch it. And in the light of all the debates that are going on now, and, you know, with Mr. Trump over on the other side and the Me Too campaigns going on, it's a very interesting time to explore how men and women relate to each other. Like, what has changed since the 70s? You know, what is okay now versus what was okay then? Which may not have been okay then, but now people are saying, actually, that wasn't okay. But, you know, it's exploring that. What are each person's personal lines, those grey lines that are there but we kind of pretend aren't there? And that's in the songs. The songs are the keystone of this exhibition. They're what started it off. But in those songs, there's strong female characters who just live outside the box. You know, they bend the rules a bit. They put forward the mask of, you know, social acceptability, but then underneath there's something else going on, which I think is probably a very true thing of most people, that, you know, we have our social face, we tick the boxes, but we think what we want underneath it all. So
as well as educating men, it's educating women as well, because as you said yourself, the way times have changed, no matter what it is, has been over the past 40 years and even beyond that as well, earlier on. Getting women to accept as well of themselves what banter is and what interaction is and what's socially acceptable, is that hard, do you think?
Well, I think it's a very personal thing. I think what's one person's banter is, you know, in another person's face, you know. And I think it's the same, I think, for men. I mean, while this appears at first glance to be very much a female exploration or maybe even feminist, it's not really, because in all the questions that are provoked by this, it also provokes, well, what is it to be a man? What's expected of me? And I think for men coming up now, I wonder, are they in the role that women maybe were in the 60s and 70s, where maybe they're afraid to speak and say, actually, this is unacceptable when you treat me like this. You know, and I do think that it kind of opens up that debate. I don't know if it it educates rather than says, well, what do you think? What's your mm-hmm. truth on this? How do you feel about this? Where are your lines?
Yeah. You know? Do you think it should be sort of from a very early, young age, both in school and the home?
That people should find it
opening up, being able to talk. I mean, the one thing, I don't know whether it's peculiar to Irish, but we're inclined not to complain and think.
Oh, yeah.
Be a little bit reticent about complaining. Yeah. Or sometimes maybe just being afraid of losing jobs or stuff like that.
Yeah, so and then we have a blowout then because we keep it all in and it's like the lid comes off the pot.
When you get older, yeah.
Yeah, well, I do think that it's starting to come in, I think, to schools now, but focusing on building resilience in people from a very young age, that we're not meant to be happy all the time, that we are meant to be sad, that we're meant to go through all the feelings, not just one. This thing of being sold, you know, we can be happy, it's mad. We're not. I mean, if we look at a baby, there's our blueprint. You know, mm-hmm. how many times does a baby laugh and how many times does a baby cry mm-hmm. in a day? Like, but we seem to react to certain triggers that we're given from our brain or our body, that, you know, if we need to eat or if we need to go to the bathroom, we listen to them. But if we feel like we need to cry, we seize up. But that we're getting a message from mm-hmm. ourselves that we need to do that, and we need to indulge it and allow it pass through us. And then the happiness will kick back in.
Yeah, now you're talking there about going back to the 70s, and I'm just recollection and the pressures on young people today, and I'm sure that makes a big difference to the feelings of kids when they're very, very, very young, what the access they have, say, to the internet.
And
we're a global village now,
yeah.
Whereas many, many years ago, like sometimes you're lucky if you had the TV going back 50 years or more.
Yeah.
That sort of thing, that's quite relevant as well to the way of life.
Yeah, I think
for both sexes, that is.
Yeah, I think so, for everybody, but particularly for young people coming up through it, because I think it's, if I can use an example, I saw one of the lads from Rubber Bandits talking to Tommy Tiernan, and he was talking about this whole thing of advertising, and I thought he just coined it brilliantly, because he said, once upon a time you were advertised, this is a bar of soap, it's going to clean you. Now you're advertised, this bar of soap is going to make you so beautiful, it's going to make you a better person.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like the step up, I think, that my generation had to cope with, that you looked at advertising with envy, but it was people far away that you envied. Now on social media, you see your best mate and they're posing and they look great. They didn't put up a poster when they got out of bed and their hair was all over the place and they fell over the dog. You know, or they felt just crap. They didn't post that. They might post it if they're at the end of their rope. That's, you know, and mm-hmm. they've run out of ground and they need help at that point. But it's all that middle ground that gets lost. And I think that thing of aspiring to be something that we're not and to be made feel something that we're not, that's, I think, the problem within social media. I think social media is also, it has huge good points that aren't being talked about as well. Though, like, I know when we were growing up, there was like gangs in different areas.
Mm-hmm.
But now when I look at the kids, they all know each other. Because he knows him, knows him, knows him. Mm-hmm. And it has made it smaller. So no one is a complete stranger mm-hmm. anymore. So I think that's a very good part of the web, which wouldn't like to be lost. But
yes, yeah. But also as well, I mean, the old saying as well, that you can live in a city and be alone quite well.
Yes,
and then the facade that people put on as well, I sort of disagree with you a little bit on
that.
I do, yeah.
Go on,
yeah. I just sort of think that people can go around, as I say, with a facade and know loads of people, but not know them, and they don't know them either.
Yeah.
It's sort of a social thing.
Yes.
So it's hidden, and maybe that's why some of the younger kids especially start so young, maybe because of that, I don't know particularly well, I mean. But for instance, you're a psychotherapist.
Mm.
As a nation, are we disinclined to go to a therapist?
I think it's improving, but I think, you know, the way you'd see kind of programs in the States and they'd say, you know, my therapist this, my therapist that.
Yeah.
It's still quite a secret thing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, I went to someone, she was very good, you know, and then people kind of, they don't talk about it openly. But I think that you know, again, if we go back 40 years, we had our elders, whatever our opinions are now, but we had our confessions. We went to priests, we went to older people and talked. We don't have that as a generation now. And certainly down a level to my children, they don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
And that avenue of being able to go and just spill your guts and walk away is very helpful to people, to just let it out. I think it's improving. I think there's more psychotherapists now in Ireland than there has ever been. My concern might be that people might go to one therapist and expect to be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to a therapist, it's a very different relationship than with a doctor or a psychiatrist. It's how do the two of you connect? Is this person the right therapist for me? Are we going to be able to build on this relationship? And can I give them the bits of myself that I haven't even given myself yet?
That's interesting now for me, and I'm sure for everyone, that the relationship you would have with a therapist, and if you don't feel it, then you should change it. Is that what you're suggesting?
I'd say so. Well, yeah, I mean, the relationship in all the therapists that have written, it's the thing they all come back to. It's the relationship that heals a person. It's the time, it's feeling safe, feeling held. And that's, I hope, what I've captured in Roots and Wings, that it's somebody just with you. They're not going to fix you, but they are going to hold you while you muddle through your whatever it is you need to through. And they're going to hold that space for you and witness you doing that. Because sometimes when we say things, we don't hear what we say, but somebody just saying, I hear you say whatever it is you said, you kind of hear it through a different lens and go, my God, have I been doing that all the time?
Is it good in suggestions what people say, that to write your thoughts down and then read them back, and then you hear what you've said, if you understand what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, anything that helps. I mean, writing, music, getting out for a walk. I think what the important thing is that everybody has their own way of dealing with life. Mm. What works for one person won't work for another person. Some people are very driven by their head, some are driven by their guts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's really to find what works for me.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a difficult thing to do, because we do live by what are the standards that other people seem to work by. But for someone to actually, I mean, it's a journey even from that to where they can say, well, no, okay, no, I need this.
Mm-hmm.
This person might be able to live.
And there's contradictions there as well all the time. You could say, some people say, well, you stick together, you know, we don't want to be different. But then you get someone that will strive to be different because they are.
Yeah.
And are not afraid.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing. And the
It's
amazing you say that, because I've been saying as nauseam, especially to young people. I mean, you've two young girls in here today, and I'm glad they're in while you're on. But the music part of it for me has always been a wonderful therapy.
Yeah.
I always advise any parent, children, any sort of an instrument, pick it up, because any mood you're in, this will sort of put you in a good place.
Yeah.
You know, if you feel angry, bang the guitar, piano or drums. If you feel sad, you know, all that sort
of stuff. Play A minor.
You're a musician, you should know. Yeah, do Okay, I'm going to change a little bit now. So tell me about track 6 on this, the name of it, and what it's about.
That's Isbralum Who. Yeah, Isbralum Who. I had one guy working on it, and he was a burlesque dancer, and he said he wanted this as his wedding song, you know. But it's a very rhythmic piece, and it's, I suppose, playing with the thing of, you know, we're Irish people. Most of us have some Irish in our in our brain somewhere. If we were to go to Spain, we'd go, oh, hey, look at me, I'm talking Spanish, and you'd only have a few words. But there's something that kind of blocks us from maybe getting it wrong or something like that. So I know that the Irish on this is incorrect. I kind of hope it's incorrect, because I have a couple of vocal, my kids are fluent. And when I start talking to them, they kind of go, oh, I'm mad, don't bother.
It
sounds silly. You know? But I'd love to be fluent in Irish. I think it's a beautiful language. I think it's so rich and so lyrical, and it's just a gorgeous language.
Okay, so we'll have a listen to it.
Isbralum Who, I like the way you're like me, baby, I'm liking you too. I like the way you rise up to greet me when I come in the room. It's Brahlam who my grandma Cree. I like the way you're dancing when you're doing your dance with me. Play with me, baby, a smile and blood's spring. My grandma Cree. Come now to spine them, hey, I want me to stay.
And there you go, that's Anne-Marie Kelly there, and the second single there, and Balam, that is called, I could pronounce it, am I getting it right?
It's Balam.
Balam, yeah, Balam, okay. It's being launched as well at the same time as the exhibition, is that correct?
Yeah.
And where will it be available then?
It's available now on Bandcamp. I've gone the indie route on it.
Okay.
So Bandcamp, if you just look for Anne-Marie Kelly on Bandcamp, you'll get the whole album there. And at the exhibition we'll be selling a hard copy of the CD. It's kind of hard to know how far you go printing up the CDs, mm-hmm. and what, because there's so many different forms of music now. So, but I personally wanted a CD. I wanted to go, hey, slip that in there.
Well, as you can see from me, I'm Neanderthal here. I carry bags of them, look.
Yeah, but there you can touch them there. Yeah, yeah. It's like, this is
you
mine.
Feel putting them on.
Yeah.
So can I ask you about yourself now, to the extent of all the different genres that you're involved in? Would you class yourself a modern woman then?
A modern woman.
Modern woman, yeah. You know, strong, sturdy, and
strong,
out there leading the field.
Joan of Arc, like. I suppose, yeah, that's a funny question. I don't quite know how to answer that. But I like to do lots of things. I love looking at women who achieve their dreams, or men, anyone. But I suppose for me, coming from a background where you did kind of have to go that extra mile to prove you could do things, yeah.
Well, I was thinking of the extent as well that, from years and years, women boxed up. And I mean, it's okay, you can do this or you can do that, but when you try to do too many, who does she think she is? Like, she can't do it, that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's great to see it, you know, it's wonderful to see some of the women, the diverse employments and skills and arts that they're doing.
And just doing what they want.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think for younger kids now, that they actually see, yeah, I can do all that. I don't have to run around in a tutu and go mad about my hair all the time. Mm-hmm. I can do that as well if I wish.
Yes,
but
yeah.
I can do all the other stuff as well. If I want to be an astronaut, I can. And I think even what Lidl have done with sponsoring the sport for girls, I think that's had a huge positive impact on, you know, go out there, get mucky, and you can do it all.
Well, they're doing that with the soccer and the rugby now, the ladies, aren't they? They're really leading the field there, and in the boxing, look at Katie Taylor.
Yeah. And I have to say, I would hate to box or play rugby, but, you know, off. Yeah, if my daughter wants to box or play rugby, do not stand in her way, you know.
I'm supposed to be a man and I'm not into it. The exhibition that you have on, the second one in particular, is it sort of interactive?
Interactive, in a nutshell, it's not. The second one, Roots and Wings, it's very... It's just a visual representation, and it's trying to show maybe that the answers we're looking for are there in nature. It's natural. If we really look closely at the laws of nature, we'll get our answer on how we can have good mental health. And it is all about that listening to ourselves, get to know ourselves. And I hope I've managed to represent that in the pictures, that it's just get to know yourself, know what you need, you know. You need to eat, you need to sleep, you need to process those thoughts, you need to let things go, but to know what your machine, if you like, needs. Mm-hmm. you know. So, okay. So that's what that's about.
Okay, I'm afraid we've run out of time. It's fascinating talking to you. I'd love it to be a little bit longer. I should have kept an hour free, actually.
You'll have to come in now and see it, no?
I will, indeed, I will. So I'm going to play the last track now, track 9. Give us the name of that.
Track 9 is the rearrangement of The Single Leaf Will Fall. This rearrangement is by Johnny Kelleher, and he did an amazing job. It's like an orchestral traditional arrangement of The Single Leaf Will Fall.
And are you doing any live music shows as well?
Well, at the open night, we'll do a pop-up of The Single Leaf Will Fall on a live level. We haven't talked about it really today, but I sing jazz every Saturday in the Golden Elephant Restaurant out in Sutton. So,
wow.
Hello, Anne.
There you go.
Got the plug.
It's only up the road there, so people can drop in. When is that on?
Every Saturday night we're there.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been there for a long time now. And then we do lots of gigs around the different hotels. But after this, I do want to do a series of shows on the independent music as well, so they'll be coming up.
Okay, when is the book coming out?
When's the book coming out?
There has to be a book.
I'll come
in
back
there.
In for that one. Yeah.
There has to be a book in there. Surely you've thought about it.
A book?
Yeah.
No, actually, no. There was a play at one time, but no book, no. But you never know. Now that this is over, there might be a lot of time.
Yeah. I've sown the seed there now.
You better water it.
That's okay. Well, thank you very much. It's been a wonderful, wonderful pleasure having you in here. And I'm so glad, as I said, that I had the two young girls in with you as well. So that's okay. Anne-Marie Kelly, singer, actress and psychotherapist. And give us all the details about the exhibitions again.
The exhibition is on from midday March the 7th to March the 14th in Film Base in Temple Bar. Admission is free and all are welcome.
Okay, I'll read them all out again before the end of the show. I just prefer you doing it than me. That's the way it works. Okay, thank you very much for coming
in. Thanks very much, Noel. Thank you.